Professor Allen is currently the head of the Pediatric Hematology Oncology Service at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. His clinical and research interests include pediatric brain tumors and other HIV-related cancers in children, genetic syndromes, and contributing to childhood cancer, and much more. As an associate professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Child Health at the University of Cape Town, he serves as the Director of Postgraduate Education. Welcome to RX Radio. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. Very excited about International Childhood Cancer Day. Thanks for having me on your show.
What is the importance of awareness days like International Childhood Cancer Day?
So that's a great question. Childhood cancer awareness is critical, really, for a variety of reasons. First of all, it helps to improve early diagnosis. Secondly, in this kind of rare condition, it can be very isolating. It's tough for a family to go through, and so to improve, you know, the sort of moral support of both the community, employers, teachers at school is really critical. And in that same vein, you know, there's material ways in which employers can, for example, assist parents of children with cancer just by, you know, giving them a little bit of more time off than the average employee and helping them in all kinds of ways. And similarly, the school has the ability to, you know, to really reach out and support a family. So there are all these very good reasons for why we want to advocate for our children and families.
What are early warning signs that parents should look out for?
So we focus on these early warning signs in conversations both with parents and the community, and also with medical personnel in clinics and regional hospitals and so on. Because the important thing is that making a diagnosis of childhood cancer early helps in a number of ways. First of all, children who are diagnosed early, on the whole, have better outcomes and are more likely to survive the cancer. And secondly, in order to achieve that, they often need less treatment than children who are diagnosed late. So the kind of things we ask people to look out for, and I'll put these in nice simple terms for folks in the community. First of all, prolonged headaches. So this is not just a day or two, but headaches that are going on for several weeks, often associated with vomiting in the mornings. And in that same vein, changes in the nervous system. So this can be as subtle as behavioral change or difficulty with school. So a child is doing really well and then suddenly starts to struggle at school. Also, obvious changes in terms of balance or walking or speech and things like that. Then changes that involve the eye. So a white spot in the eye, particularly in a young child, is something that's really of concern. It's not necessarily always cancer, but it should be examined and checked out by an eye surgeon. And other things, loss of vision or a squint. Then lumps of any kind. Now, you know, there are lots of reasons for lumps. So just because if your child has a lump doesn't mean you should be concerned about cancer, but a lump that is growing steadily, wherever it is, whether it's in the limbs or whether it's in the head and neck or in the tummy, should be checked out by a doctor and could be a problem. Signs of the bone marrow being involved by cancer or a primary bone marrow cancer, we call those leukemias, would be a child that's very pale and tired, associated with bruising and bleeding and often with fevers. Those are signs that the bone marrow is not functioning properly. Aching bones that change from one place to another, and we're talking about over several weeks rather than just a single day. Easy fractures, and then backache. Backache is not a common sign in pediatrics. It may again not be cancer, but it is generally serious. And then lastly, there are obviously sort of signs of general unwellness, such as prolonged fevers, losing weight, fatigue. But of course, there are other things like TB and HIV that need to be excluded first. So this is the kind of thing where it's a case of going to the clinic sister or going to the general practitioner and saying, these are the signs that I'm concerned about. And I think one of the things that I've learned over the years is sometimes parents are concerned about a cancer diagnosis because of something they've read or heard about, but they don't say it, because in a way, if you say it, it kind of makes it real. So when the the sister in the clinic or the doctor reassures them that, oh, this looks like a common, simple condition and offers treatment, you know, that can delay the process. So I always say to folks, if you're concerned that your child has cancer, then say so. Say it to the medical person that you're seeing.
Do children with cancer go through the same treatment as adults with cancer?
So the simple answer is no. Clearly there are huge similarities because cancer treatment, for practical purposes, is one of three things. That is chemotherapy, medication that kills cancer cells given orally or through an IV line or through other through injections, surgery, so operations to remove cancer, and then finally radiotherapy. This is X-ray based treatment, and all cancers are treated with a combination of those, but those combinations do vary. Fortunately, childhood cancers are generally very responsive to chemotherapy, and that's what leads to such great outcomes. To talk in particular terms, leukemia or blood cancers can only be treated with chemotherapy because a blood cancer is clearly spread throughout the body, so a surgery is not going to be a treatment for a blood cancer. On the other hand, solid tumors, wherever they are in the body, whether they are brain tumors or in the rest of the body, would be treated with a combination of chemotherapy together with surgery and then sometimes radiotherapy. Radiotherapy is actually a very important part of the treatment in some circumstances.
How does the treatment impact a child's life? Example, can they still attend school?
Well, the whole team, the doctors, nurses, our social workers, our school teachers, we all try to limit the impact of a cancer diagnosis on the other parts of a child's life. So we encourage play and physical exercise. We certainly encourage attendance at school where possible. There are circumstances where that is not possible. So certain diagnoses such as Burkitt lymphoma or myeloid leukemia require a lot of hospital time, very intense chemotherapy, and those children then have their immune systems are so weak that over that intense period of treatment, that usually is in the region of 4 to 5 months, they're just not able to attend school. But many of the other children on less intense therapies, we do let them go to school. The most important thing is, as long as that they are, the teachers and the other children in the class are aware of the diagnosis, the most important thing we ask of the schools is just to encourage parents in the same class not to send their kids when they have fevers or other illnesses. Because, as we always point out, it's the child with cancer who's vulnerable to, you know, infections from other children. Of course, that leads one into a whole discussion about coronavirus, and in the main, children with cancer don't seem to have worse COVID symptoms than other children. There are some children overseas who've been, these are children who've had bone marrow transplants, who are profoundly immunosuppressed, who, having contracted COVID, became quite unwell. But generally speaking, children with cancer don't seem to be worse affected by COVID.
What are common misconceptions about childhood cancer?
So there are two things that I'd like to highlight here. The first thing is that, you know, faced with a cancer diagnosis, particularly where adults with cancer, you know, don't do necessarily as well, families, you know, obviously are in a lot of distress. And so we emphasize that the majority of children, most children with a cancer diagnosis will be cured. That doesn't mean every single child, so it's still a very serious diagnosis. And of course, some of these types of cancer are much worse and are much more difficult to cure than others. But even then, there's a concept of reasonable hope. We have to try our treatments, and we really try to start off from a perspective of hope. And then secondly, most important, there's no guilt. There should be no guilt from parents. You know, there's often a sense immediately in the family of, like, you know, which side of the family did this come from? Why did my child get cancer? And unlike some of the adult cancers where we know that if you smoke for years and years, you're likely to get lung cancer, there aren't obvious triggers like that in childhood cancer. And that's quite difficult as a parent to accept that there's no obvious reason. But it is important, we say to parents, you do not need to feel guilty. There is nothing you've done to give your child cancer.
Do you have a message of hope for children with cancer?
Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, that's a wonderful way to finish this interview. For sure, there's a variety of points that I'd like to make. The first thing is that I can say to children with cancer, one of the things that we can pretty much guarantee you is that once you start the treatment, although it does involve medications and other things which sometimes aren't pleasant, you will feel better. So our kids, pretty soon after we start to give them treatment, they do feel so much better. Their pain's better, their symptoms improve. So that's a first note. The second thing is the majority, I said it before in this interview, but I'll say it again, the majority of children with cancer are cured. Sadly, I can't say that every single child with cancer will be cured, but we're getting better and better as time goes by. And of course, it remains our aspiration and our ambition to be able to say one day that all children with cancer will be cured. And lastly, and it's a testament to kids and to their families, it's amazing how resilient people are. And so I can say unequivocally that the majority, it can't be everyone, but the majority of kids who cured from cancer actually come out after their treatment stronger. Physically, there may be some issues, but psychologically and mentally, those kids are often stronger and their families are stronger because people are amazingly resilient. It's not something that one would ever wish for one's own children or anyone else's. But we are amazed by the degree to which our cancer survivors are able to grapple with challenges in the future. And we have, I think now I speak under correction, 6 doctors. In other words, 6 young people treated in our unit who are now doctors. And at least 1 is a pediatrician. Anyway, thank you.